Hello, can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. I am so thrilled to be talking to you. Ashley Fontaine is the founder and chief bad arsery officer at Flux AF. She helps nonprofits in flux with strategic planning, facilitation, and leadership coaching. And she has a master's in social work and a lot of experience in the mental health field, which really must help when she's work, you know, when you're working with your clients. And you have a book coming out, which I can't wait to talk about. But before we get to that, because Ashley is also a badass when it comes to burnout, does the name Flux AF stand for what I think it does? And please don't say it on air.
I will not say it on air. This always tickles me when people ask this question because sometimes it dawns on them late that it's a double entendre because my name is Ashley Fontaine. So it is cheeky and also based on my name. So a double action there.
Didn't even click. Of course, Ashley Fontaine. Oh, that is genius.
Well, I have a client that I've worked with for, like 2 years since I've been in business. And one day he goes, "Oh, I just realized these are also your initials." And it always just gives me a giggle. So I love that.
Ashley, it's all about fun. And speaking of fun, I don't know you as Ashley. I know you as Smash,
Yes.
as in Hulk Smash. I know you as Smash Fontaine. Where does Smash come from?
I wish I had a better story about where this came from, but actually it's just a nickname from my dad. My dad's side of the family is all about nicknames. They all have funny, like my dad gets called Mullet and my uncle is called Skeeter. Like none of these are birth names. And when I was a kid, my dad always called me Smashly and his side of the family calls me that. And so he still will call and leave me, like my birthday voicemail, "Hey Smash, happy birthday." So it's a nickname from my dad.
Well, it also makes you really memorable and it adds to the whole sense of fun that you bring to your work. Here's something that Ashley says, which I love. She says, "I will help you create meaningful change in the world without lighting yourself on fire to keep others warm." What a great saying! I've never heard that before.
I cannot take original credit for it. I'm sure I read it somewhere along the way, but it really resonated for me when I was still an executive director. And especially since then, I work with a lot of nonprofit executive directors in strategic planning and coaching. And I find that concept of self-sacrifice, unfortunately, comes up a lot in nonprofit work and that feeling of like martyrdom where you kind of have to give yourself up to execute the mission and put that first. And I just wholeheartedly don't believe that that has to be true.
I can absolutely understand how that comes about. Nonprofits are creating meaningful change. They are about incredibly important things. And I think women in particular feel that we're supposed to care and care and care for others for a worthy cause without necessarily caring for ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's so funny. This is one of the reasons that I really geek out over strategic planning, and I love strategic planning so much because it's a tool that can help you know when and how to say no to things. In nonprofits, we are so susceptible. Many people are in the nonprofit work that they do because they care a lot and they want to make the world a better place and they want to serve their community. And so when a new need arises, it's very difficult to say no to that need. But the truth is, the more things that we say yes to, the less effective we are in the things we're already doing. So I really look at strategic planning as a tool for prioritizing and trying to focus on the things where you really can make the most impact, and rather than just saying yes to everything that comes kind of across your desk, so to speak.
Well, we're not only putting our own oxygen masks on first, but we can also prioritize and use what time we have to the best advantage to make the most impact. I believe that you have experienced burnout in your past. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that moved you to now where you are? I'm tripping over my words this morning, but how that experience led you to be able to help others.
Yeah, I had been an executive director for about 5 years by the time that I was ready to step down, and I just had, some moments where actually, what happened was I continued to hear myself say a phrase several times in a row over the course of some weeks and months. And then I was like, oh, this is a true thing that I'm saying. So, you know, I would be working with a staff person or a board member, and I would say, I'm sorry, my brain's just not working, like, you know, a detail that I forgot or something like that. And I just realized it was the truth. My brain was not working the way that I am accustomed to having my brain work. I felt like I was working through quicksand all of the time. Like, my brain was moving much more slowly than I am used to. And between that and the forgetfulness, I'm like, I just feel like my memory is leaking like a sieve over here. Those were two of the things that were big symptoms for me that I was experiencing burnout and I needed to take a break and do something different.
And now you're able to help your clients do something different. I love one of the things that says on your word, seriously, my brain isn't working at the moment. But there's something about basically doing things the way they've always been done. That is never helpful. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, you know, this is something that I see in lots of different spaces. Even before I became an executive director, you know, I worked in nonprofits I started out as a social work intern, and I worked in programs after that. And so I've kind of had a lot of different roles within nonprofits. And that's something I see happen really commonly where, and some of it comes from scarcity, right? Because we're working in systems with not enough resources and we're trying to get things done. And so what happens is that kind of gobbles up all of the space and mental bandwidth to think about and ask better questions about why we're doing things the way that we're doing things. And so that's one of the things that I love doing in my consulting practice, is to be sort of that extra brain power, extra person power who can say, okay, wait a second, like, let's back this up a step. Why are we doing this process this particular way, and asking more strategic questions to think about if there's a different process or way to go about things that would be more effective and more useful.
Because you're not any experienced, but you're coming in with an objective, you know, an objective viewpoint, and you can see the big picture. When we're so caught up in the day-to-day details and we are exhausted and we're working so hard, we lose sight of the bigger picture. We solutions aren't always that apparent.
Yeah, well, and it's the same reason that, you know, even though I do coaching, I also have coaches, right? Because it's always easier to solve somebody else's problems than it is to see yours a little bit more objectively and have enough space to address it yourself. So I think that's the other thing I like to just remind people, like, coaches still also need coaches, because part of the value of it is just having somebody who is deeply listening and can reflect the things that you're saying back in new ways where you might not have had the space to do that by yourself.
You also get the benefit of grand coaches and great, great grand coaches.
Yeah.
Your coach has a coach who has a coach who has a coach. So
it's so true.
You're getting a ton of wisdom out of that. Turnover. What happens when people are burnt out? Does that impact turnover in a nonprofit?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, in my experience in nonprofits and with a lot of different executive directors, burnout is a really significant reason that many of them leave. It's one of the reasons, you know, we're starting to see people who, I was an executive director and now I'm a real estate agent, like, just doing things that are dramatically wildly different from the work that they were doing before. And making those changes, you know, on an individual level, if that's something that will help you or satisfy you or, you know, change your life in the kind of way you're looking for, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it has become really an epidemic kind of in the nonprofit sector, where all of these talented, brilliant people are leaving because the ways that our sector are set up lead to people being burned out. And it's just not a sustainable way to operate and for people to do their work.
You're also losing their expertise. Mm-hmm. The amount of time spent training and then needing to offboard, so much intellectual equity, I think is a better way of putting it, is walking out the door when you do lose such a valuable staff member.
Yeah, the institutional knowledge that can be lost in that process is huge. And that's one of the other reasons I do interim work, is to try to help organizations navigate that period where, you know, the opportunity to lose information that they might not even know they should be thinking about is really high. And I think in my own experience with burnout, having some staff transitions was certainly something that contributed to it, because, you know, there's the institutional knowledge for the organization and your mission in general that is lost, but then there's also the added workload that it adds to your remaining staff members, right, from the executive director and also your other staff members. So somebody has to kind of manage the job that that person was doing, and then you're also taking on the process of hopefully finding their replacement. And there's just a lot of moving pieces that can kind of add to the strain and the workload of everybody who's still on your team.
Burnout spreads.
Yeah.
Corporates have staff that are facing burnout as well. What drew you to nonprofits as opposed to profit, for-profit businesses?
You know, my whole career has been in nonprofits. After I finished my undergraduate degree, I started working through AmeriCorps with a United Way organization here in Washington State over in Spokane, which is near the Idaho and Washington border for people who are not from this area. And I just, you know, I wanted to do something that felt good and like it was useful in the world. And so that's kind of how I fell into an AmeriCorps program and working in nonprofits. And after that first year, I just became so, I don't know, energized and invested in this idea of social justice and how do we do things in systems levels that can hopefully make the world a more just place, that I ended up staying in nonprofits ever since.
Well, on behalf of nonprofits out there, thank you very much.
Well, and it's interesting because so a friend of mine was pre-ordering my book, and she was like, you know, one note that I would give you is that I feel like the things you're talking about this book are not exclusive to nonprofits. This friend of mine has been in the military. She is a midwife. And I was like, you're completely right. It's not only for nonprofits. That happens to be my area of expertise, but it's really for anybody who is working with people and systems. There's leadership things in this book that will be useful for them.
And the book, which is fantastic, by the way, is Unstuck, A Practical Guide for Radical Change for Nonprofit Leaders. And one thing the title doesn't really tell you is that Ashley is fun. She's fun to work with. You will have so much laughter when you spend time with her. So I just wish the title of your book emphasized the fact that you are a joy to be around. But what would you tell me about, I believe people can pre-order the book now?
Yes, they can. I am very excited to have this available for pre-order, and I'm happy to share the link. It's pre-orders help fund the publishing, so that is very helpful to me. And I will say it out loud, but I think it's helpful to probably see it in print too. The link is igg.me/@/unstuckbook.
Pause this podcast. Rewind a little bit, write that down, then start pushing play again. Your wonderful book, you're self-publishing, is that right? Is that where the funding comes from?
No, it's actually a hybrid model publisher. So this is being published by New Degree Press, but they do kind of what they call like author community driven publishing. And so they are a publishing house, but they help you put together your pre-sale campaign. And it's a little bit different from traditional publishing because at the end of the whole process, although it will be printed through New Degree Press, I actually get to keep all of the rights to my work, which is really cool.
That is really cool. Can I also point out, as somebody who's very, very aware of color, Ashley has very cleverly made the cover of her book the same color as her brand and colors. No, I shouldn't have had that extra coffee. On her website. So there is synchronicity. There is cognitive congruence in that. So can I say how clever it was of you to make those colors all match?
Well, thank you. Part of my work in my consulting, I also do communications activities for different nonprofits, and I do enjoy designing things, even though it's not my like main thrust of my business. And that's definitely my signature color. It's funny that you brought up the color, actually, because I left the house yesterday and realized my shirt was teal, my rain jacket is turquoise, and my glasses also match.
I was going to say, your glasses are the same beautiful teal as well.
Yes, it is my favorite color. It's definitely to the point in my life where people see it and associate that color with me. So,
now that is branding. Why teal?
You know, I just love it. I have loved it for a really long time. I have had other colors that I've really liked in my lifetime, including lime green, which is one of my like brand accent colors. But I like teal because I feel like it goes with a lot of other colors. Like, you know, I have a rainbow scarf that I bought when I was in Ecuador, and it always goes great with like a teal shirt underneath it. So it's a good complement color for all of the other wild colors that I like to wear.
It absolutely is. Ecuador, I know you are also fluent in Spanish. When were you in Ecuador? And tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, I don't know if I wouldn't quite give myself full credit for being fluent yet. I'm working on it. I went to Ecuador in 2019, actually, after I stepped down from being an executive director because I was experiencing burnout. I took a break and I went to Ecuador for 2 months, just to learn Spanish and surf and wake up every day and ask myself what I wanted to do rather than being really scheduled and having to fulfill a lot of commitments. And that was really important for me in terms of just trying to kind of heal my brain from what I was going through.
I also want to point out Ashley's knack for design. On her Facebook page, there is a beautiful photo of her looking like a mermaid reclining on a rock. And she has positioned herself so there's a gorgeous yellow curve of, I call them buoys, I think you call them buoys.
Yes.
It's actually you lead, it's as if you've got this glorious mermaid tail of buoys behind you. Again, that speaks to your love of design.
I'm all about the bright colors and I love photography. So, yeah, all of my hobbies coming together.
Speaking of holiday, and also I know you love hiking. I know you love to be in the Pacific Northwest.
I do.
I was, sorry, I'm just sliding over to something I noticed about Ashley, which I just wholeheartedly agree with. We've both got very similar values: fun, freedom, learning, and connection. I'll add aesthetics to mine, and I think you might want to slide that one under yours as well, because how things look, how beauty really resonates with me. But one of the things that I also absolutely love about you is that if it's not on your calendar, it doesn't happen. This is a basically you schedule and you send out calendar invitations. I was talking to a client yesterday and she wanted to add more self-care into her life, and I'm like, well, great, get it on your calendar. And she was like, no, I can just basically wake up every day and know that I need self-care. And it's like, no, if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen.
Yep.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you schedule your life?
Yeah, I am a prolific Google Calendar user. I feel like sometimes my friends are like, "You're sending me a calendar invitation for board game night." Okay, I'm like, "Yes, because if it's not on there, I will not arrive." So yeah, I use my calendar for pretty much everything. I mean, I do time blocking, so I try to manage kind of how I go through my projects with time blocking. But I also include things like, you know, every day at noon, I have an item on my calendar that says eat lunch and walk the dog, and that's what I go do. So it helps me be able to see whether or not I'm actually doing things that are also good for me. You know, I have worked with a local trainer here in the Seattle area, Stacy Sorgen, and she is just a delight and has pivoted wholeheartedly to an online model with group like strength training and fitness. And for the last 10 weeks, I just finished a strength camp with Stacy, doing like her 7:10 a.m. workout 5 days a week. And that's another thing that goes on my calendar. And I just treat it exactly with the same respect that I would give to a client appointment. And I think that that's really important when we're thinking about how we take care of ourselves and how we manage our time.
I agree. An appointment accidentally dropped off my phone the other day, and I didn't show up because if it's not on my phone, I don't know where I'm supposed to be. And I schedule buffers and downtime, and I really answer the phone. I actually schedule catch-ups with friends.
Yeah, I love that. That's also something I started doing. Oh, I don't know, maybe s 6 months ago. I don't, time has no meaning in the pandemic. A while ago, I started scheduling a co-working time on Fridays for me and my best friend. And you know, it doesn't work out 100% of the time, but it's really nice to have just a time on the calendar where we can like drop in and catch up to have lunch and then do some work together.
Exactly. Do you schedule a time for your dessert cereal, and what is that?
my dessert cereal. I do not schedule a time for dessert cereal because I try not to make that a daily practice. Dessert cereal is what I call any kind of basically sugar cereal. So my favorite, of course, is Cocoa Pebbles and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. They are things that in the United States, at least, are marketed as cereal, which many people would consider to be breakfast. I do not consider them breakfast because they are legitimately dessert. It's mostly sugar. So I do not eat them for breakfast, but that's what I call my dessert cereal.
Speaking of scheduling, go to Ashley's website, FluxAF, which stands for Ashley Fontaine, Dalton.com, because she has get to know you calls, and you can schedule a 25-minute call with Ashley on her website. I'm also going over your blog. You've got some great articles there. I love one that says, don't be stingy with praise. Why is praise important?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's been a while since I wrote that article. Praise is important because that's how people know if the work that they're doing is working for you, right? Like, I think we focus so much on giving feedback, quote unquote, as how to give people negative feedback that we don't always think about the fact that giving feedback is also about giving positive feedback, right? Like, coming from a behavioral health background, positive reinforcement is so important for creating good habits and reinforcing the things that we want to see more of. It's a really important tool for managing employees, and it's also really important for your relationships, right? Like, and I include relationships with employees. Like, it is more fun to work with people who give you genuine, honest feedback and who it feels like you want them to succeed, right? And like, you notice not only when maybe their work wasn't like quite up to snuff or you have a suggestion for changing it, but also when they've done really incredible work and you see that and recognize it.
Absolutely. Especially since a lot of people have different, I'm completely segueing here into love languages, and a lot of people really do need to hear words of praise. It really resonates with them.
Well, and maybe that's why I wrote an article about it, because definitely words of affirmation is my top love language.
Well, can I affirm that you are fun and fabulous, and I love seeing your posts online, and I love your website, and I look forward to loving your book.
Well, thank you so much.
It's obvious from your website that you're a great writer. You will love working with Ashley if you want to have fun, even if you're working hard. You don't want to waste time trying to figure it out on your own. You adore leaving a meeting with clear action steps and action items, and you're ready to leave, get this, any and all Marta shenanigans behind. I love leaving meetings with clear action steps and next steps. I get frustrated if a meeting is vague. It has to have a concrete outcome.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I was hanging out with a friend last night and he was like, I hate it when I have these meetings and there's no clear anything. And I'm like, so are we just hanging out or is there an agenda? And I'm like, yeah, I think that's one of the things that, you know, as a consultant, I really appreciate being able to bring to the nonprofit leaders that I work with, because so frequently when you're a nonprofit leader, you know, you're the one taking notes and making sure the action items are clear for your team. And it's really nice to be able to kind of take that off of the shoulders of people that I work with and give them really clear next steps for what should happen next and where they really need to focus their energy.
Especially on those days when your brain just isn't working right.
Right? That's the thing. And I think that's partly why I'm happy to take that on, because I have been that person where I'm like, I am just stretched so thin and so burned out that even trying to think of logically what the next steps are has started to feel difficult. And so I think that's part of, I don't know, a unique piece of the service I can provide is to take that specific piece of mental labor off of people's plates.
Oh, what a relief. Some days I really do need other people to think for me. I schedule every appointment, regardless of whether it's walking the dog or seeing a client. I always have a purpose for each appointment, and it sounds like you feel the same way too. I mean, a purpose of walking the dog is walking the dog, listening to an audiobook. The purpose of catching up with a friend is to be there for them and hold space. But vagueness drives me crazy.
Yeah, and a lot of people, myself included, don't handle ambiguity super well. So I think as clear as you can make things for folks, it makes your work more effective.
Well, thank you for being so flexible, because I basically said, we'll be talking about a wide variety of subjects. I refuse to tell you in advance, but please just show up. Hey, what are some Marta shenanigans? I mean, what a great way of putting it together.
Oh, what are some like examples of murder shenanigans? Oh boy, I feel like there are so many, but one of my pet peeve examples that I hear from executive directors and other nonprofit leaders in organizations is this inability and or unwillingness to take their vacation days. This concept that I can't go on vacation or else everything will fall apart. My response and reaction to that is if your organization is in such a fragile space that you cannot take, even 3 days off of work, then your organization is not healthy and we need to address that immediately.
I attended a coaching session a couple of weeks ago where the coach turned up and she was obviously ill. And it's like, go home. If your company can't find a replacement for you, what does it say about their management of resources?
Ooh.
And especially since the coach is all about self-care, and it's like, could you please just go home? Nobody is irreplaceable when it comes to a work environment.
Yeah, none of us are, well, we should not be irreplaceable. And that's the thing, it weakens your ability to execute your mission too when you're in a situation like that, right? Because that mentality of, oh, I can never take a break, trickles down to everybody else and it becomes part of the culture. And that makes it even harder to change it later down the road.
And it's so toxic because, as you said, it trickles down. So people that are looking up to the leaders feel that they don't have the right to self-care. Completely off topic, but I have another purpose for asking you in the podcast. What did you think of the movie Eternals? You just went to see it, and I haven't seen it yet.
I did. I wasn't sure what to expect. I really like Kumail Nanjiani, so I was excited to see him in a superhero movie. I liked it a lot more than critics seem to have liked it, but I was looking on Rotten Tomatoes and the audience score was dramatically better than the critic score. So I don't know. Sometimes I think critics get it wrong. One of the things that I really liked about it was that the casting was so much more diverse than a lot of the superhero movies we've seen previously. They even had somebody on their team who is deaf and uses sign language. I mean, it was really cool to see a film where I think a lot of people could see themselves in one or more of the characters.
We are getting better at diversity. I watched a few minutes of Cowboy Bebop last night, and I must have seen about 16 different nationalities in the first 5 minutes. It was a joy.
I love that.
Smash Fontaine, aka Ashley Fontaine, it has been such a joy to talk to you. Make sure you pre-order her incredible book, Unstuck: A Practical Guide to Radical Change for Nonprofit Leaders, which anybody who is dealing with potential burnout or is worried about burnout should get, because it has strategies that will absolutely apply to you. I really appreciate you making time for me today because I know how you really value your time. So thank you for coming on and chatting with me.
Yeah, happy to be here and thanks for being such a fun host.
Have a lovely rest of your day. Bye.
Thanks, you too.